Next, we have Sid Ryan.
Well, good evening, sisters and brothers. I want to thank the organizers, Heidi in particular, who persecuted me practically for a month. She tracked me down on my cell phone and asked me if she got my cell phone number, but she did. And then waited for me camped outside the hotel, the Delta. Anyway, so here I am. And I tell you, it's a great pleasure to be here and very honored to be asked to say a few words to you tonight about the economic disruption campaign and indeed the campaign that all of labor is now beginning to buy into, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. There are some realities, of course, we've got to deal with in the labour movement, and the least of which is a major rift which took place, you know, many years ago when the NDP were in power, and we had a very divided House of Labour. And we've been left dealing with the fallout of that for quite some time. But I sincerely believe that we've actually made some progress in the last couple of years, and there's a coming together today, which I haven't seen, at least in the time that I've been president of QP Ontario, and I've been in there approximately 10 years. But I want to pick up just a little bit on what John said, where he started off, and that was, of course, a day after Labour Day, the day that we're meant to be celebrating the work and the commitment of working class men and women to building their communities. The Harris government brings in and proclaims a piece of legislation that introduced a 60-hour work week for those people who don't have trade unions. But in addition to that, what's not very well talked about is, of course, the averaging of overtime over a 3-week period. You know, theoretically, you can now work approximately 40 hours in a 3-week period and not receive a tosser in terms of overtime pay. But a piece that actually has probably helped us mobilize, and that is, particularly for the private sector unions, they brought in essentially the elimination of the right to refuse unsafe work in our workplaces. And anybody who knows the history of the labour movement, recent history, going back over the last 20, 30 years, you'll probably recall the days of Eli Martel, the NDPer, who was hammering away at Tory governments and Liberal governments in the 1970s and the 1980s. Completely electrifying and mobilising the labour movement around health and safety issues. Now, I don't know what sector you all come from here. Some of you will work in the public sector, some will work in the private sector. I can assure you, those who worked in the private sector, this was the main mobilising tool in the 70s and in the 80s for the labour movement in Ontario. So much so that a Tory government decided to move towards setting up a workplace health and safety agency that would address the concerns of workers in the workplace. The Tories, just this past couple of days, have actually eliminated most of that legislation, but in particular, they're giving, they're almost actually what they're doing is they're emulating the strategy they used in Walkerton. They've slashed the ministry budget by 8.2 million. 25% of the workforce, the inspectors, have been basically fired. And now they're saying that a workplace accident or a workplace unsafe condition can now be investigated over the telephone. And it's true, and it's the same concept that's in play in Walkerton, where they turn around and slash the inspectors and then pass it off to a private sector company who, if they decide to notify the authorities, they will, and if they didn't, in the particular case of Walkerton, they did not notify the authorities, and we all know the result, 2,000 people with severe illnesses and 7 people died. We know that in the last year alone, we've had 300 deaths in their workplaces in Ontario, increased by about 22% over previous years. And now they're going to turn around and say to inspectors, you don't even have to go into the workplace. And I'm telling you this because it forms an important component of the Fight Back campaign and the mobilization that's now taking place at the OFL. And let me just walk you through this campaign, because I'm quite excited about it in terms of reaching people. John is absolutely right. I mean, we've tried the protests, and we've had them, believe me, in this very city. We've had tens of thousands of people out, and no disrespect here, but this is the most difficult city in Canada to mobilize a membership. And they did a fantastic job of getting tens of thousands of people out for a protest that people said you wouldn't get off the ground. But we had 200,000 people on the streets of Toronto, and we had 120,000 people on the streets of Hamilton. And John is absolutely correct. Harris did say, you can trample every blade of grass in Queen's Park and it won't make a whit of difference to this government. And he's right. So we've learned a lesson from that. We can put as many people on the streets, and we've proved that we can live up to our name of being organised. Organised labour can move people in massive numbers if we need to for one event. What we have done recently at the OFL is to say, okay, if that hasn't worked, we have to start playing to air strong suit. And air strong suit in this particular case is our workplaces. If we start taking the campaigns back into our workplaces, then we can have the impact that John is talking about, an economic impact, but also it's a tremendous mobilizing tool to get people involved. Because you can't have general strikes without getting the message across to the membership. You can't have any form of mobilization around an issue unless you've got mass numbers involved. And we've got the numbers in the labor movement, we're just not reaching them. So we have to find a way of reaching our members. And a couple of things that we've done, and was QP Ontario that proposed this campaign, if you will, to the Ontario Federation of Labour and all of the unions around that table, steel workers and auto workers and food workers and the public sector workers have all bought into this campaign, and I think it's quite exciting. One of the things they're doing is putting together what they call a solidarity network. Essentially what this is a network of flying squads from all of the unions across the province. So throughout the month of October, we're actually going to go into 28 cities across the province, and we're asking the locals and all of the unions in each of those cities to put one or two activists into a training program. So let's say from Ottawa here, QP's got, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 locals in this region. We would like to see 60 or 80 activists from QP, and the same with Cook W and PSAC and all of the unions coming together. And the labor movement is going to be contributing, if you will, trainers to train up and put on a 1 or 2 day workshop for all of the activists in each of our communities. So QP will end up putting in 3 or 4 staff reps, the same at Auto, the same at Steel, the same at all of the unions, to go out there and begin training the activists in how to put together flying squads, give them some information around their rights, give information around civil disobedience, start to pick and select targets of workplaces where people will be needing help and assistance, whether it be those workplaces, for instance, that say this is an unsafe condition that exists, I'll be damned if I will speak to an inspector over a telephone. If you don't want to send an inspector into a workplace, we're just going to down tools and sit down here and or wherever it is, if a public sector workplace, we're just going to refuse to work. And hopefully through the network, it will have a component where we will be able to contact through the Federation of Labour and through the internet, get a hold of all of the activists who have formed the flying squads in your area and get massive numbers of people over to that particular workplace to demonstrate the support and show of support on behalf of the action that's taking place inside of the workplace. It can also be tied into actions around collective bargaining, because at the end of the day, that's where we interface most frequently with our membership and with the employers, is through collective bargaining. Now, we know, for example, we've got major, certainly in QP, we've got major sets of negotiations coming up. We've got 40,000 healthcare workers going to a bargaining table. Keeping in mind, when you look at British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia, where you had province-wide strikes in those communities or in those provinces on the issue of wages for healthcare workers. We got 40,000 of them, and believe me, the workers in Ontario are no different in terms of their militancy than what the workers are in the other province. So there's an opportunity to start mobilizing around a large number of workers. But by the way, if we had the Solidarity Network up and running today, we should be out there supporting PSAC. PSAC had a strike here today. They had a strike for every Wednesday for the last 3 weeks. We got to start getting our members out and start saying, like, it's great to talk about it, but, you know, how many activists did we have on the PSEC picket lines in the city of Ottawa or the city of Toronto or any one of those cities around the place?
I was there.
Ready to go. But that's what we need to do. Like, you got to put this into action. If you're really serious about shutting down a province, if you can't shut down workplaces on an individual basis, we'll never shut down the province. You'll never have the impact that this economic disruption campaign is trying to foster. So let's start being really serious about getting the actions and getting the activists to those workplaces in solidarity with those strikes that we know are going on right now. That's got to be the start of it. I talk to you about health and safety, and I can't emphasize the importance of this health and safety issue for the private sector unions. So what we're going to do to try and generate some interest from the private sector unions in the campaign is 23 cities, again, across the province are going to be holding one-day conferences on health and safety issues. And in order to generate some interest, we've already got four or five workplaces where the private sector unions have said, we're prepared to shut it down to highlight the concern that we have with respect to the government's policies around health and safety. So in order to generate interest and start to mobilize people again around health and safety issues, they're talking about shutting down some of the workplaces, which we hope to draw major media attention to start to spark and generate some interest in the private sector unions. I believe when you get health and safety activists, and those of you who are in the labor movement will understand, health and safety activists, together with workers' compensation board activists, I believe are the most mobilized activists that we've got. Most of the labor leaders in the province today actually come from the health and safety activists in our workplaces. If we can get in the health and safety activists working with our coalition partners and working with the flying squads, I think we have the basis here for a broad-based campaign in all of our workplaces that will culminate or be centered around bargaining issues, health and safety issues, and issues of social justice, where we definitely, I think we can, mobilize our members. When we get a general strike out of this, I mean, I'm going to be very frank about it. It's difficult in the labor movement to find the issue that's going to generate a general strike. And it's a lot of hard work. And you know, the mobilizers and the organizers of tonight's meeting, for example, you know, I'm floored with the amount of people come out here tonight. I think it's fantastic. Great turnout. You've got to prepare yourself for turnout. But you know how hard it was to get, you know, the turnout that you got here tonight. I know you've been working on this for a long time. You've got to multiply that a million times in order to be able to have the same impact province-wide. But can we do it? Yes, we can. I'll give you a few examples. We know that Harris, for instance, in the municipal sector in Ontario, is going to bring in a piece of legislation this fall to revamp the Municipal Act. It hasn't been revamped in 150 years. We've got a chance to see a draft copy of this legislation about 3 years ago. It was devastating in terms of what AMO, the Association of Municipalities, are looking for. The right, essentially, to take away our successor rights. They believe they cannot privatize any of the public services if they cannot get rid of the successor rights. Now, you probably remember OPSU being on strike, and they lost 20,000 members practically overnight when the Tories took away their successor rights. They tried doing this on Bill 136 not so long, a couple of years ago, and QP in Ontario, together with the rest of the labour movement, took strike votes right across the province, and we backed them off. I think they're coming back in the municipal sector. I sincerely believe that social service locals and childcare locals and inside workers, outside workers, workers, parks, recreation, they're going to get hammered with this legislation. And believe me, if that happens, we're moving to strike votes straight away. It's only a choice. We'll have to move to strike votes. There is an opportunity to begin some form of mobilization again in the fall around Harris's legislation. I think it's important to understand that, yes, we will do an economic disruption campaign, but I don't believe that in itself is what's going to get rid of Mike Harris, or it's going to stop his agenda. I think this next couple of months are key to the Tories. They really, truly wanted to have the bulk of their right-wing agenda for this term of office. They wanted it out before the public, and they were hoping to be on the way back up in the polls, but they got stymied by several issues, one of them being, of course, the extension of private funding as public funding to private schools. We stopped them dead in the tracks. We stopped them getting their agenda out. He's at 35% in the polls today. He's got one more opportunity, which is the next sitting of the legislature, to get the rest of his agenda out. And then he has to begin to start working on the public with advertising. You're already seeing it, the $6 million campaign they're putting out there very recently. This next 3 months, I think, will be crucial. 4 months will be crucial to the Tories. If we can get this campaign off the ground that we're talking about here, we will knock them off stride. There's no question about it. If we can challenge them in a serious way on any one of their initiatives that results in economic disruption, that results in workplace disruptions, I think there's a real opportunity to get him off stride. If we can get him off stride for the next 3 or 4 months, they're into the dying days of their mandate for this time around. They're at 35% in the polls. I think there's a real good chance that, in fact, we can defeat Harris at the next election. And that's what takes us to the next phase of the OFL campaign. We have to start to generate a debate out there with our members about what is the alternative. Now, I'm not talking about here in terms of what's the alternative political party to carry our message, because quite frankly, everybody's in a state of flux on that question. We tried the NDP and people weren't terribly happy. Nobody's going to go to the Liberals, that's for sure. And obviously we're not going to the Tories. So what we need to get is the debate going out there about some of the alternatives. And we need to begin that process of consulting with our members to find out where they're at. What kind of an agenda is it that we want those politicians out there talking about? And one of the things we're doing is we're going to be distributing 750,000 leaflets on the opening day of the legislature at Queen's Park. Now that's, by the way, that's the 24th of September. Now that, this in itself, you talk about trying to organize a province-wide strike. You've got to think about the logistics of trying to distribute 750,000 flyers outside of all of their workplaces. And essentially, it's along the lines of who's next. It's going to highlight the cuts that Harris has made and the erosion of our rights over the last number of years. And it basically just asks the question, who's next? But what we're trying to do, for instance, in Queen's Park, and we're hoping that it'll be emulated in all of the cities around the province, but at Queen's Park, we know that if you go up University Avenue, it's lined on both sides with hospitals where QP members, OPSU members, SEOU members, CAW members work in all of those hospitals. We know around the Crescent at Queen's Park, all of those buildings around there are OPSU buildings. OPSU members are working in those buildings. We know that right next door to us, the University of Toronto, we've got 6,000 QP members in that facility. Across the street is Ontario Hydro, the head office. We've got several thousand members who work there. Right next door to that is the headquarters of the school board. We have hundreds of workers in that building. We can start to get out their materials. In other words, we can have a massive assault on the main downtown core in Toronto. They start getting this message out in our workplaces. Members standing at the plant gates, members standing outside of these facilities, giving out these messages. I know that seems like a fairly tame thing to be doing, but believe me, the amount of mobilizing and organizing it takes to distribute that information in itself is a mobilizing tool. If you can't do that, believe me, you can't pull off a province-wide strike. So we need to start getting our members energized and mobilized around those issues. And I just want to finish off by saying that I know that John is talking about the retreat stops here, and he did make mention of the fact that indeed we did have some successes. But it's very important to highlight those successes. We have taken this government on some serious issues, on some serious fronts. I talked about the Bill 136 campaign. That probably was the most energetic, mobilizing campaign for QP. We did indeed go through all of our workplaces. We had meetings in this city. We had thousands of workers showed up over a period of a day and a half, to actually vote to walk off the job. And we got mandates from cities right across this province, 90%, 96%, 98% strike mandates, people saying, if you bring in that legislation, we're out of here. And he blinked. He blinked big time. And that's what I like about this economic disruption campaign. If we can generate that same kind of interest, I'm positive that he began to blink. They tried bringing in retired judges to rule on our collective agreements. And again, we had the OCHU organization, the hospital locals, said, by Christ, you're not going to bring it in air, not in airtime. And they said, we'll move the strike votes, even though they don't have the right to strike. They took strike votes and said, we're prepared to walk off the job, if need be, to stop you from using these retired judges. They backed down on that issue. The mega tribunal, they tried to bring in a mega tribunal, get rid of the Human Rights Commission and the labor boards. And we fought them on that issue. And they just turned around and said, it's too politically charged, this issue. We're not even going to go near it. So we have managed, in fact, to make some serious inroads. We've taken locals to the brink of walkouts. We, the Carleton University here in Ottawa, York University in Toronto, where we mobilized the university sector. And believe me, if you're in QP, you'll know this, that is the most mobilized sector that we've got in our union right now. They're absolutely charged, having won several battles at the bargaining table, where Harris had his hand directly inside of the negotiations, where he had administrators say, we're going to take this issue off QP, which was tuition indexation. Thousands of people in Toronto came out. We brought out flying squads for the first time and said to the university, you're not busing any students across our picket lines. The only way to a settlement in Toronto was through the bargaining table. Nobody's going to our picket lines. If we can generate that kind of an interest again around some serious sets of negotiations, we have an opportunity to start to build. And the last thing I want to talk to you about, which I think is really exciting and hasn't happened in my 25 years of involvement in the labor movement, And that is that the OFL have finally decided to get over their phobia about coalitions, and they're saying what we're going to do is allow the coalition partners to come onto the floor of the OFL convention in November, and we're going to have a debate about the future of the challenge that's facing us in this province. This is a thing that has never happened in the history of Liverpool. So we really do have an opportunity for you to get your point of view across, not through Sid Ryan, not through Judy Darcy, not through Buzz Hargrove. Go onto that floor in large numbers and put your agenda to the trade union leaders and the trade union activists and say, this is what we want you to do. Start mobilising, start lobbying the labour movement to say, listen, get in behind their mandates, develop a resolution and a policy before you even go to that convention. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, go in there organised. Know what it is that you want coming out of this whole process. Don't go in, thinking this is going to be a nice debate on the floor of a convention. You've got a whole lot of unions in there. You need a good kick in the arse. They need to start getting themselves mobilised. And you can do that. You can provide that spark on the floor of a convention, which I think would be very, very exciting. And if you really want to send a message to Harris, there's nothing more powerful than the television cameras glaring down at John Clark in full flight in the middle of an OFL convention, speaking to 2.5 trade union leaders about the need to engage in an economic disruption campaign. Sisters and brothers, I think that's where it's all at. And if you can get in behind that particular campaign, I think we're onto something here. We can get with Harris. All right.